We're on the telephone with Ronnie Green, Vice President of Agriculture and Natural Resources at the University of Nebraska. Ronnie, wanted to talk to you about a report put out recently by UNL that talks about the potential for expansion of the state's livestock industry. And in that report, you talk about the Nebraska advantage. So tell us about that.
Well, we were very pleased to release now, about a month ago, I think it was, a report from our Department of Agricultural Economics, and it was jointly with the Nebraska Department of Agriculture, looking at the livestock industry in the state in particular and what the opportunities might be for expansion of the industry in the state. We feel very fortunate in many regards that we are currently the number one commercial red meat production state in the U.S., driven heavily by the beef sector and the beef feedlot sector and the beef processing industry's presence in the state and the cow-calf support of that. To a lesser degree, however, from the pork industry and our dairy industry, certainly, and our egg laying industry, while still significant and in the top end of the states in the U.S., has not grown as it should by comparison to what we see in other states in this region of the country, in particular when we look at our neighbors in Iowa and South Dakota, Minnesota, Kansas, and Colorado. So the focus of the report was to talk about what that opportunity might be, and there is quite a bit of discussion in the report about the Nebraska advantage that you referred to, which is also called the Golden Triangle in the report, where the availability of large supplies of corn production and bean production in particular, as well as the growth of the ethanol industry in the state. We currently are the number two ethanol producing state in the country, and the byproducts and distillers' grains, of course, that come from that industry creates an opportunity for synergy and value-adding of those crop products to animal agriculture in a way that we think is unparalleled anywhere else in the country. So when you put all of that together, that Nebraska advantage is the diversity of our landscapes, the water resources that we have and are blessed to have in the state, along with the strength of the crop sectors and the bioenergy sectors, that it just fits economically that we should see increases occur over time in animal agriculture.
Now, your report did outline some potential obstacles and benefits to the state. Can you talk about those a bit?
Well, the first thing that the report outlined were some scenarios of how that growth might look or occur, and there were scenario examples in the swine finishing sector where currently about a third of the pigs produced in the swine herd in Nebraska actually are shipped out of the state for finishing, and many of those then come back for processing at one of the state's three plants. So there was a 25% expansion scenario in swine finishing that was detailed in the report. There was a doubling of dairy cow numbers in the state from the current just under 60,000 to 120,000 dairy cows in the state proposed as an expansion, and a tripling of egg layer production in the poultry sector, and then a 10% increase in fed cattle numbers in the state was a fourth scenario. All of those were modeled and discussed as what the ramifications and look of those kinds of scenarios might be. And then the report did discuss what some of the potential obstacles have been historically and might be in the future to expansion of those kinds of scenarios. There was quite a lot of discussion about legislative policy in the state and how that looks in Nebraska as compared to, you know, our neighboring states, Iowa in particular, where there's been a huge expansion of the swine industry over the last couple of decades, while our swine industry has continued to retract to a degree over that same time period. Those issues relate to local zoning control and local control of setting zoning requirements. That is the case in Nebraska, is not the case in Iowa. So setback requirements are set by their equivalent of our Department of Natural Resources in Iowa, and not set at the local level. So in Nebraska, as you know, we have had the case where individual counties can go through a process to become designated a livestock-friendly county. There's now 26 of those of the 83 counties in the state, the 93 counties, excuse me, in the state that have been so designated by the Nebraska Department of Agriculture. Just this past week, last week during National Ag Week, there were two additional counties, Merrick and Dawson, that were added to that livestock-friendly designation, which essentially is the same equivalent to what the Iowa situation is, where there's a set of the setback requirements that NDA outlines that those counties agreed to follow. They still can set their zoning requirements, but it makes it attractive for livestock and expansion of livestock in those counties. So we're seeking to see more of those across the state, particularly in northeast Nebraska, where we believe there is significant opportunity for livestock expansion in that part of the state. And we're hopeful that we'll see more counties designated livestock-friendly in that part of the state.
Of course, population is growing worldwide very rapidly, and we've heard a larger percentage of that population is moving into what we would define as middle class. They've got more money to spend on protein, on meat. And so it sure paints what would seem to be a pretty positive picture for animal agriculture, live meat production going forward here.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, there's various dialogues occurring kind of internationally on that subject. You know, the growth of the animal protein industry, the growth in demand for animal protein products. You know, I have to put my bias right on the table here, Ken. I think you know I'm an animal scientist by background and training. I've worked in the beef industry or associated with the beef industry almost all of my own life. As a geneticist. So I very definitely believe in animal agriculture and the service that it provides to mankind, the food and high-quality food that we produce from animal agriculture. But the numbers don't lie, I don't think. You know, when you look globally and you look at all of the trends globally and where population growth is occurring around the world in its most concentrated forms, there is a dramatic move into the middle class occurring in some of those most dense population growth regions of the world, and all projections point to an increased demand for animal protein over the next several decades. As that population grows and as more people in the current population move into consumption of animal protein. Think about those numbers, it's dramatic. The estimate is that 3 billion more people than today in 2050 will consume animal protein in their diets. And so that's substantial growth opportunity for animal agriculture. And the Nebraska Advantage that I was talking about earlier and that the report outlines points to the fact that there are few places in the world that are as well suited to animal agriculture and production from animal agriculture, as is this region of the U.S. So we look forward to growth and expansion and hope we'll continue to see that happen.
And again, the economic benefit, the economic impact on the state of Nebraska, if we were to grow that livestock industry and increase those exports of meat out of the state, the economic impact's going to be pretty significant.
The take-home in the report mentioned the four scenarios that were modeled as examples of opportunity for growth. And in those examples, the authors point out that there is that room for growth currently. There are the feed inputs exist. That it would not require more production on feed inputs. Those are feed inputs we already export out of the state, so they're available for use in expansion of the industry. And if we were to see that occur, their estimates are we would create just under 20,000 new jobs in the state. and we would expect a value added increase of about $1.4 billion in economic activity in the state. So not trivial, very, very important opportunity for the state and particularly for local communities where these industries would be expanding. So a huge opportunity for the state, and as I say, I'm optimistic and hopeful that we're going to see that trend continue.